Today's shiur is Masechta Zvachim on Daf Kuf Yud Beis, and we will begin on Daf Kuf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, right at the beginning of the Gemara. In the Mishnah that we learned at the end of the previous shiur, the Mishnah gave numerous examples where in some situations the Mishnah said there is a chiyuv fa'alah b'chutz, and in some situations the Mishnah said that there is no chiyuv. And now Gemara begins to analyze those various situations. Says the Gemara, Bishlam b'chutz v'chazav anasim b'fnim, in a situation where the blood of the carbon was received in one cup, and the person went and put that blood outside before they put it inside, we could well understand why our Mishnah says that that's a case that one has transgressed halas chutz. Shekula roi lias b'fnim. All of that blood should have been inside. And since part of it was, instead of putting it in the azar, it was put outside, we understand why the Mishnah says yichayif. But ask the Gemara, al b'fnim, in a situation where again, the dam is in a kais, and it's been put on the mizbeach b'fnim. Why does the Mishnah say that if afterwards you put the remainder of the dam, the helem b'chutz, that yechayiv, that leftover blood in the cup, shirayin inhu, is just leftover blood. And why would you be chayiv for halos chutz, for that blood? Answers the Gemara, hamani, because our Mishnah represents Rav Nechemya, the opinion of Rav Nechemya, whose opinion we discussed in the previous shiur. Damash yor adam, shekriyim b'chutz, chayiv. And not only for the basic dam that you put b'chutz are you chayiv, but even for the shiori adam that you put b'chutz, you would be chayiv. Ask Tosfos, why didn't our Gemara answer that the case of the Mishnah of b'fnim v'helim b'chutz is a situation where we know that a karm chatos has to have four applications of dam, and b'fnim v'helem b'chutz is in a situation where you just did the first nesina, b'fnim, and the last three nesinas you did b'chutz, which we learned earlier in our parak. Everyone agrees that under those situations, the halacha is that you're chayiv. So why do we have to limit ourselves to explaining that the Mishnah follows the opinion of Rav Nechemya? So Tosfos answers, the reason the Gemara didn't suggest that teretz is because the wording of the Mishnah b'fnim suggests that you did everything you were supposed to do b'fnim. So now to go say that b'fnim means that you only did some b'fnim, not all of the ones b'fnim, that doesn't seem to be what the Mishnah is saying. Tosfos is teretz. I saw Reb Chaim Briska explains that what the Gemara is saying is that actually, since we learned earlier in our Masechta, that it's only the first Nesinas Adam that is absolutely mandatory, and the other Nesinas Adam are not mandatory. We know that if you only did one Nesina, it's fine. Says Rav Chaim that the three final Nesinas and the Shirayim according to Rav Nechemya are one and the same, because they're all not essential. That, and therefore, when the Gemara is saying that we're following the opinion of Nechemya, it makes no difference if it's the Shirayim, or it makes no difference if it's the last three Nesinas, the din is the same on both of them. So the Gemara uses the words that's going contra Nechemya, it's talking about the Shirayim, because the Shirayim and the final three Nesinas actually have the same halacha. Continues the Gemara. Irem Nechemya, if we're saying that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Nechemya, who holds that the Shirayim Amakev, so don't ask the Gemara, let's continue learning the Mishnah. Eima Sefer, the Mishnah taught us, Kibul Dama Bishnei Kaisis, if the dam of the carbon was received in two cups. Nasin Shnei Bifnim, so somebody did Zrik Stam from both cups in the Azara, Potter, it's great. Shnei Bichutz, if he did both of them Bichutz, he's Chayiv, because obviously he was supposed to do Zrika Bifnim, by doing it Bichutz, he's Chayiv. And as we said in our previous year, if the two Nesinas would be done in two halomas, he'd be chayv two carbon chattas. Echa b'fnim, but as the Gemara, the Mishnah went on to say that echa b'fnim ve'echa b'chutz. If one was done b'fnim and one was done b'chutz, potter, why? Why are you potter? Didn't we just say that Nechemi's opinion is that shiari hadam shekrivim b'chutz achayv? So why, if you did the nesina from one cup and you have the other cup left over, is the Mishnah saying that there is no problem with that other cup? There certainly should be a problem. It's shirayim. And Rabbi Chemi's opinion is that if you put shirayim b'chutz, you're chayiv. Answers the Gemara. Seif and osel tanakam der b'lezer Rabbi Shimon, domakais osel dochel chaveray. We learned earlier in our Masechta, on daf lamed dalet omadeis, a machloikis between Tanakama and Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Shimon, where everybody agrees there that if you had dam in a cup, in one cup, and some of the dam was used for Zrikas Adam, the remaining dam in that cup, as we have been learning, is Shirayim. But what would be the halacha if you received the dam in two cups, and you did the Zrika, all of the Zrika from one cup, and now you have left over a second cup? So we have Machloikis between Rabbi Lezer of Shimon and the Tanakama. Rabbi Lezer of Shimon says that the second cup is Shirayim. The Tanakama says that what is the definition of Shirayim? What's left over in the cup from which you did Zrika. But over here, you had dam in one cup and in another cup. Since you did no Zrika from that second cup is not considered Shirayim. Rather, that second cup is called Dochui. And that's dam in that second cup is not put on the Mizbeach, where we would say, therefore, according from Nechemya, the din of Shirayim Akvi applies. Rather, that dam is put out to the Omitz, built out to the canal. And Rav Chemya is that Tanakama. And therefore, even Rav Nechemya, who takes this serious view regarding Shirayim, will agree on the second cup that it's not considered Shirayim. And therefore, if the dam of that second cup was put outside of the Azara, he would not be chayiv for halos chutz. Interestingly, we discussed also in our previous shir, the Gemara discussed, does Rabbi Nechemya say his opinion of Shirayim Ma'akvi only by Chatas Pnimius or even by Chatas Chitzonius? And the Gemara suggested that it's only by Chatas Pnimius that Rabbi Nechemya states that opinion. From our Gemara, point out the Rishonim, we're seemingly speaking here about a Chatas Chitzoni as well, and still we're quoting Rabbi Nechemya's opinion. It seems that our Gemara holds that Nechemya stated his opinion even by the Chatas Chitzoni. So the Mishnah continued in comparing the cases that we have been learning. Lema ha-dovah doima, lema fish chatosah v'ovdoi, firfish acheres tachtea. If somebody lost a karmah chatas, was designated karmah chatas, lost it and took another one, v'akach nimtzis ha-rishoyma. And you find the first one. So the question will be, what is the status of the carbon you found? If the status, and we'll get more into this in the Gemara, if the status of the carbon you found is that it's rejected, it's mesa, it's left to die, so if you'll take that carbon that's mesa, that's supposed to be mesa, and bring it on outside of the Azara, there's no chiv halos chutz. If, however, the halacha will be that that animal should be left to graze and be brought as a carbon oila, then the halacha would be very different. Because even though the animal really should not be brought as a carbon oila, it should only be sold for carbon oila. Whenever we have a situation that an animal should be left to graze and become balmum and be sold for carbon oila, the halacha is if it's brought for carbon oila, it's fine. So if that's the status of the animal, such an animal brought on the Mizbeach HaChitzin would be considered halos chutz. So now, let's understand the Mishnah and the Gemara. If the Mishnah is bringing an example, obviously the Mishnah is trying to say, to teach us something with it. What are we trying to learn? Answers the Gemara, Hamani, who is the Tana of our Mishnah? Rebbe he. It follows the opinion of Rebbe. Dama avuda b'shas afrosha, that if an animal was lost, if an animal was designated, and then it got lost, and then you find the first animal, that animal, the halach is that should be left to die. Vach kama. And that's what our Mishnah is saying. Tama, If you designated one animal, and then you designated a second, you lost it, and you find a, and you designate a second animal. Since Rebbe's opinion is that it's the second animal that you should bring as a carbon, and the first animal that you had designated should be left to die. So therefore, if you bring that animal outside of the Azar, it's not considered halos chutz. Ha, why would, however, be the halacha if hifrish teichatos lachraya? That the halacha is, let's say somebody had to bring a carbon chatos, and he designated two animals for the carbon. The halacha is that one animal should be brought for the carbon chatos, and the other animal preferably should be left to become balmum and sold as an oila. But, as I said a moment ago, if that animal was brought as a carbon oila, it's fine. There the halacha would be, since that second animal is considered a carbon oila, if that animal was brought b'chutz, you'd be chai for halos chutz. If somebody designated two animals, and one was brought for the chatos, the remaining animal, mikara oilehi, is considered a carbon oila, and therefore if that animal is taken outside, you chayiv. Ukura harvhuna amarav, dama harvhuna amarav, oshim shenitik l'riya, v'shach t'stam, kashal oila. Which means as follows. Unlike, as we've learned numerous times, by carbon chatos, chamash chatos meses, in most situations where carbon chatos becomes disqualified, there's a loch l'mosh m'sinai that the animal should be left to die. By osham, in this similar situation, an example would be a tamuras osham, the loch is that it becomes a carbon, it should be left, if a carbon osham becomes disqualified, we should let it become a balmum and be sold for an oila. And Rav teaches us that if you use it for an oila, it's fine. And therefore, any situation of osham shenitik l'riya, where the asham is the animal that was designated for carbon asham and becomes disqualified if you bring it b'chutz, it's considered as if you're bringing a carbon b'chutz and you'll be chayiv. Machloikus Rishonim, how to understand asham shenitik l'riya? Rashi's opinion is that asham shenitik l'riya doesn't mean automatically that as soon as the animal becomes disqualified for being a carbon asham, it becomes a carbon oila. Rather, Rashi's opinion is it has to be designated as a carbon oila. What does that mean? Beznin should say so. You should give it to the roya. But just because it becomes disqualified and the aloch is that it should be brought as an oila, or at least it should be sold for an oila, is not enough. Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos says as soon as the animal becomes disqualified for carbon asham and it should be used for this oila purpose, on its own it becomes that way, without, at least midoraisa, without any specific designation. As the Gemara, this is a very difficult Gemara to understand. Mi dami, asked the Gemara, hasam oshem zachar v'oila zachar. Ask the Gemara as follows. We can understand the halacha we just said regarding the oshem. Because indeed, a carbon oshem comes from an animal that's a male, and a carbon oila comes from an animal that's a male. So we can understand that for whatever reason, this animal cannot be brought as a carbon oshem, it can be brought as a carbon oila, because both of them are brought from males. But, asked the Gemara, how could it ever be that a carbon chatos should transform itself into a carbon oila? A carbon chatos comes from a female. A carbon oila, as we just said, comes from a male. Aval chatos, the kevihi. So how could the chatos become an oila? Answers the Gemara, it could happen. Amram chiyim yustana, b'sir nasi. That if a carbon, there is a case where a chatos is brought from a zachar, a nasi, as we learned in Masechta Horius, does an Aveira, he brings a male, that, and let's say, again, just to say it all out, let's say if the Nasi had designated two animals for that Karmel Chatas, two Seirim, two male goats, and he brings one, the other one has the status of a Karmel Oila, that were that animal to be brought b'chutz, he'd be chayiv for halos chutz. Harun lach ha-shoich v'amala, harun lach ha-shoich v'amala, we begin the Ezra Hashem Yisbarach, the last parak of Masechta Zvachim. The Mishnah begins Paras Chatas. Paras Chatas means the Paraduma. Why is the Paraduma called Paras Chatas? So the Mefarshim give two explanations. One explanation is, because the Torah keeps on calling the Paraduma Chatas, to teach us that it has the same rule as Kachim, that just like Kachim are also Bahanah, so too a paradum is osbanam. Another pshat is that we've said this, that the word chatos means kapara. And just like a chatos affects kapara, when you bring a karma chatos, you have a kapara, so too does the paraduma accomplish that it cleanses the person from his tumah, because we know that if a person becomes tumah meis, he has to have the mixture of the ash of the paraduma and the mayim chayim sprinkled on him. Shesar for chutz megita. Let's say it was prepared in the wrong place, but the Mishnah is going to teach us, and we'll discuss this more tomorrow. Shir be'ezer Hashem, it's not considered halos chutz l'mekaymai. We have here a very fundamental machloikis rishonim. What is the proper girsa of our Mishnah? Tosfos' girsa is as the words of our Mishnah say. Shesar for chutz megita. That the carbon, that the parah was burnt in the wrong place. And as the Mefarshim explained, that the Mishnah is teaching us, that even though that the shechita, as we'll learn, of the carbon parah, of the parah aduma, is supposed to be done outside of Yerushalayim, in a spot facing the entrance of the Beis HaMikdash, which is Har HaMishka, which is Har HaZeisim, the Mishnah is teaching us, says Tosfos, that even though it was done in the right place, the shechita, if the sreifa was done in the wrong place, where's the right place? There's a gita, there's a pit that it should be done. According to these Rishonim, the definition of the word gita means a pit. Why was it done in a pit? Very practical reason. Because as I said a moment ago, they burnt the parah aduma and they collected the ash to make this mixture. Now, if you'll burn it in a pit, so you'll be able to catch the ash. If you burn it on a flat place, the ash is going to blow all over and you will have not accomplished much. So the Mishnah is teaching us that even, according to Tosfos, that even though the shechita was done in the right place, if the sreifa was done in the wrong place, it's still not considered halos chutz. That's how Tosfos explains the Mishnah. Rashi's girsa is not just sarfa chutz megita, but rather sheshachta chutz megita. And the Brisker Rav explains the opinion of Rashi, Rashi's pshat. He says as follows, that we said in our introductory remarks to this Mishnah that the paradum is considered kachim. So you would say like this, that if you bring it properly, so there you did as the Torah said. But if you didn't do it as the Torah requested, if you did the shechita in the wrong place, so it should be considered that you brought kachim. Kachim should be brought in Dazara. And if you didn't bring it in Dazara, we've been learning for dafim and dafim, there's a problem of shechitas chutz. Teaches us the Mishnah, as we'll learn, there's no issue of shechitas chutz by the paraduma. According to Rashi, explained the Mefarshim, the definition of gita will not be the pit where it's burnt, but rather it's the marocha where it's slaughtered. The Cain. Siram Shtalech, we know on Yom Kippur, they brought two Sirim, they did Gairalis, one was Sar Lashem, and one was the Sar Lazazel that was sent. Again, the Siram Shtalech, again, in tomorrow's Shir, we'll discuss exactly what this means. If it was done B'chutz, Yechayiv. I saw the Mefarshim ask an interesting question. The Parsha of Sar HaMishtaleach, the Torah teaches us that you should do so on Yom Kippur, is in Parsha's Achrimais. The parasha paraduma is the parasha's chukas. So why does the Mishnah speak about Sar Mishtalech before paraduma? It should have spoken about paraduma before Sar Mishtalech. It should have followed the order of the Torah. So I saw two terutzim. One terutz is because the paraduma, the sprinkling of paraduma mixture, was done on Klal Yisrael the day the Mishkan was erected, which was Rosh Chodesh Nissan. The Yom Kippur avodah was only done months later, on Yom Kippur, 10 days in Tishrei. So the Mishnah is following chronological order, one pshat I saw. Another pshat is that although the Torah only mentions the halacha paraduma in Parashas Chukas, paraduma is one of the halachas that were already told to us in Mora. So even though maybe in the Torah paraduma is mentioned later, but actually it was spoken to us earlier, and that's why the Mishnah is following the proper order. Shenema, why is the halacha that by these two things there is no issue of Allah's chutz? Because the pasuk says Val Pesach Oyamayid Loyaviyoy, Kol Shein Roila Val Pesach Oyamayid. Anything that's not supposed to be brought to the Pesach Oyamayid, as these items aren't, the avoid of them is not done in the Azara, ein chayovim lovde is no chiyuv for halos chutz. Continues the Mishnah. Hareveya v'anirva. If somebody brings a carbon that was a reveya or a nirva that are disqualified for kabbonis, we're going to learn there's no chiyuv of halos chutz. Here too, the Rishonim ask, the halach is that a shechita she'en aruya la'ishma shechita, that a shechita of an animal that you're not supposed to eat is not considered a shechita. So of course there's no issue of shechutei chutz here, because you're not allowed to eat hareveya v'anirva. So Tosfos and other Rishonim say that the halachas of shechutei chutz and the halach of what is you're allowed to eat don't necessarily travel together. And that's why the Mishnah had to teach us this din, which Tosfos himself understands is a very difficult answer, because why shouldn't they travel together? They all speak to Shechita. So Kivegas has a very nice teretz. Kivegas says that we learned earlier in our Masechta that there will be cases where you have an animal which is Reveya and Nirva, you'll be allowed to eat it, but you won't be allowed to bring it as a carbon. What are examples? Let's say that it was the owner who admitted that this animal was a Reveya or a Nirva. Or we only had an Eid Echad testifying that this animal is a Reveya or a Nirva. So since you don't have two full-fledged Eidim, you'll be allowed to eat the animal. So it is a Shechita Ruya. But for carbon, that is enough that it cannot be brought as a carbon. For muksan, animal that was designated for avodah zarah, or never an animal that was actually worshipped. For mechir, an animal that was used as an exchange for a dog. For esnan, an animal that was used for payment. To a zayna, for klayim, for trefa, for yoytzedayf, an animal that wasn't born naturally. Here too, in all these cases, shachriv and b'chutz, if they were brought outside of the azara, yipater. Shenemar, lifnei mishkan Hashem, teaches us the pasuk. Any carbon that can be brought by the Mishkan Hashem, ain chayav melav, you can't be chayv. Continues the Mishnah. Bali mumin, if an animal is a balmum, again, says the Tanakama, whether the balmum and kavuim, whether they have a permanent blemish, bain, bali mumin, ivrim, or even if it's a blemish that's only temporary, shakrivim b'chutz, potter. Again, for the same reason. Because since these animals are not kosher for a carbon, if you bring a b'chutz, there's no chiv. Interesting that the Mefarshim discuss. So why when you do shchutei chutz, is it considered that it's not a balmum? As soon as you do a shchita, you start the shchita, the animal becomes a balmum. Which really touches on a different question altogether. What is considered the act of shchita? Famous shayla. If yeshnon l'shchita b'tchila v'atzayif. So if you say that shchita begins at the beginning and throughout, so it's not a question. But if you hold ein l'shchita l'psayif, so the animal became balmum as soon as you started the shchita. But it's not considered shchita until the end. So by the time you shechted it, it's a balmum. Mefarshim debate this question. They say that even if you hold ein l'shchita l'psayif, l'mafreya, once you complete the shchita, we say that the entire act of shechita was an act of shechita. Rav Shimon disagrees. Rav Shimon says, "Bali mum kavuim paturim." If it was a permanent mum, you'd be potter if you brought a b'chutz, because it has no place in the base of Mikdash and the Azara. Bali mum avrim chayim v'la b'leisa say. The halachas you'll be chayim v'leisa say. Why? As we're going to see in the Mishnah and in the Gemara, it is Rav Shimon's opinion that anything that ultimately will be able to be brought on the Mizbeach, there's a chiyuv for chutzon. And therefore, similarly, tarim shlo hagiyas zmanam, we're going to learn a mitzvah shem, that there are two types of birds that could be used for karbonis. Tarim and b'nei yoyna. B'nei yoyna are pigeons, tarim are turtle doves. And there's opposite requirements. By tarim, the halacha is that they can only be brought when they're older. B'nei yoyna could only be brought when they're younger. So the Tanakhama says, Tarim shlagi is manam, or b'nei yoyna sh'ov is manam, sh'krivim b'chutz, if you brought them b'chutz, you potter. Again, because they have no place on the Mizbeach. Rav Shimon disagrees, because Rav Shimon says, indeed, b'nei yoyna sh'ov is manam, if they're too old, you're potter. However, the Tarim shlagi is manam, if they're too young, Zloisa say. Why? Because since, again, this will be a bird that ultimately will be usable, anything that ultimately will be usable, you're over on a laugh. The Torah teaches us a pasuk. Oisai ves benoi loisishkatu b'yom echad. You can't shecht. This is not only by kachim. You can't shecht a mother and its child on the same day. So, says the Mishnah, if you shechted the mother today, so then the child can't be brought as a carbon. And therefore the Tanakam of our Mishnah says that if you brought it b'chutz, you won't be chayiv. Interesting shayla that I saw from the Tzina Rav. What would be the halacha if somebody shechted here in America this afternoon a bird, a mother, and the child of that mother is an Eretz Yisrael. The animal, the baby is an Eretz Yisrael. 7 hours later, in Eretz Yisrael, it's 7 hours later. So at the Yisrael, it's already evening. Will it be, and he shechs that animal at night in Israel, which here, it's still day. Will there be an Isser of Oisav Espinoi? So he says, and it's relevant to all areas of halacha, he says, when we follow halacha, we look at where the person doing the act is. And if the person doing the act is in Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael, it's already tomorrow, the fact that the mother was slaughtered here, and here it's still today, doesn't change the halacha, and it would be mutter. And he brings a very nice raya. He says, what would be the halacha if somebody was born in America, and he's celebrating his bar mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael. So we know that when does a boy become bar mitzvah? As soon as night begins. So should we say that no, he only has to wait another 7 hours because he was born in America, and in America it's only going to be this day 7 hours later? Of course not, because you follow where you are. So he says in all areas of halacha, we look at where you are, whether it's for bar mitzvah, for Isis Benoi, he gives other examples. Mechusas man, or let's say an animal that isn't yet 7 days old, that the halacha is you're not allowed to bring such an animal, is all potter. Rav Shimon Omer, again, Rav Shimon, true to form, says, Areyu Zebeloisa say, since these animals ultimately will be usable as a carbon, you're going to be over a lav of halos chutz. Rav Shimon Omer, Kol Shiroi Lovel Achazman, anything that will ultimately be usable as a carbon, Hareza Loib Sasei, he says there's a lav, but Rav Shimon agrees that although we've been learning that for Shchutei Chutz and for Laos Chutz, if you do it b'mezit yichayiv karis, here Rav Shimon will agree that even if this was done b'mezit, there would be no chayiv karis. Chamayim, they travel together. Koshay may karis, if you Rav Shimon say to Chachamim to Rav Shimon, agree that there's no chayiv karis, there also won't be anybody Loib Sasei, there won't be a chayiv lav. Mechusas man, when we speak about mechusas man, says the Mishnah, you can have mechusas man bein megufoy in the animal itself, and the Mishnah will explain this immediately, and bein bebalov regarding the owners. Explains the Mishnah what it means. Ezem mechusas man bebalov, what does it mean mechusas man in the owner? We know that the Torah requires that azov or yeledis for mitzera, when they finish being tamei, have to bring certain kabbonis, teaches us the Mishnah, if they were makrif chatosam v'ashamim b'chutz, if they brought their chatos and asham before they were supposed to, it's called mechusas man, the time for this carbon hasn't yet come, and they're p'turim. However, oleseim v'ashamim b'chutz, sometimes they have to bring a carbon oilu, a carbon shlomim, if they brought those carbonis before they were supposed to, they would be chayovim. Machlokes Rishonim as to why. Most Rishonim explain, as we've learned, a chatos and asham, you could only bring if you're obligated to bring. Whereas an oilu or shlomim, you could bring as an adava. So if these individuals who are ultimately going to be b'chayiv to bring an oilu or shlomim, but right now they brought it before the chayiv, we consider it like an adava that they brought. And an adava of oilu or shlomim is always accepted. That's one pshat. But the Rambam seems to learn another pshat, a very b'chiddish in the Rambam. The Rambam seems to learn that even though the halach by chatos and asham by these individuals is that if you bring your chatos and asham before the time of the obligation comes, you haven't fulfilled your obligation, an oilu shlomim is more lenient. And even though they should really wait to bring their oil or shlomim until the time they're supposed to, if they bring it early, they fulfill their obligation. The chiddush. Hamala, says the Mishnah further, mipsar chatos, mi b'sar osham, mipsar kotchi kotchim, since the halach is that the boss of a korban chatos, the boss of a korban osham, the boss of kotchi kotchim, which Rashi says means kifsei atzeres, the boss of kotchim kalim, the meat of the kotchim kalim, a korban shlomim, korban toida, or meiser oimer, we know that on the second day of Pesach, they brought the michas oimer, and like by all korban minchas, they took the koimitz and burnt on the mizbeach, and the remainder was eaten, but the kahanim not burnt on the mizbeach. Shtei halechem, on Shavuos, they brought the kifsei atzeres, and with the kifsei atzeres, they brought two loaves that weren't burnt at all, but just were eaten by the kahanim. The lechem upon them that every Shabbos, they put in two new loaves and took out the old loaves that the kahanim ate. Ushiyar minachas, as I said a second ago, when they bring a karam mincha, the kaimitz is put on the mizbeach, the rest is eaten by the kahanim. So all of these items, since these are not items that are burnt on the mizbeach, as we've been learning in the previous parak, when is there a din of hamala b'chutz? There's a din of hamala b'chutz only on something that's supposed to be put on the mizbeach. All of these items that were just listed are not items that belong in the mizbeach, and since they don't belong on the mizbeach, they're not. You're not chayiv for halos chutz. Hayotzek, the person who pours the oil on the karm mincha. Vapaitis, the person that breaks it up. Vaboil, the individual who mixes the ingredients. Hamoilech, the one who salts all kabanas. Vamenef, many kabanas require tenufa, waving. Hamegish, particularly by karm mincha, the karm mincha is put on the mizbeach. Or hamasader is a shulchan. Somebody who puts up the lels in the shulchan, v'meitiv is a neiris. The Rishonim explained the two parts to being meitiv neiris. One is cleaning out the wick, the cups in which the candles were burnt on the menorah, and the other is preparing the wicks and the oil for burning. V'kaimitz, again, before we go further, interesting briskerov. The Mishnah is teaching us the mesadas a shulchan, meitiv is a neiris, will not be chayiv for doing it outside. How can we chai for outside? There's no shulchan outside. There's no mizbeach outside. So they say there has to be that our Mishnah is referring to a situation, says the Briskerov, where you took the shulchan or the menorah out. Hakaimit, somebody does kmitza, from a kabbal domim, or somebody does kabbal stam, b'chutz is potter. So the mefarshim make a number of points. Just mention a few. One is, the Mishnah doesn't speak about halacha. Why doesn't the Mishnah speak about halacha? So Mefarshim explained, because two answers. One answer is, because as we learned earlier in the Masech, the halacha is not always absolutely mandatory. What happens if you shek right next to the Mizbeach? So then, you don't have to have halacha. Not pshat is that halacha is included in a Mekabel Damim, and that's why it didn't have to be mentioned. Furthermore, the Mefarshim say that if somebody did kmitza b'chutz, the Mishnah is saying that you're not chayiv. There's a debate in the Achronim if you did kmitza b'chutz and then you put that kmitza on the mizbeach, will you be chayiv for the aktar of that kmitza? Do we say that since the kmitza was an invalid kmitza, then the aktar of that kmitza is meaningless? Or the aktar and the kmitza don't travel together? So all these cases, if you did a b'chutz, it's not considered that you did b'chutz and you potter. There's no chiv that Yisrael did any of these avoiders. Interesting machloikis in the Rishonim, when the Mishnah says, what does that mean? That all of these avoiders should be done by a kohen, but if Yisrael did it, he's not chayiv? Or is the Mishnah teaching us that the Yisrael is allowed to do it, l'chatchila? Or is the Mishnah teaching us a third opinion, that the Mishnah is teaching us that the Yisrael l'chatchila shouldn't do it, but if he did it by the Eved, it's acceptable. And if you want to make it even more complicated, the Rishonim that say different avoiders have different rules. For example, I saw that the Rishonim say by Moilach, salting. There's some Rishonim that want to make a nafkamina between salting and animal carbon. The dead halacha will be that Yisrael shouldn't do it. You should not do it. Whereas salting a carbon mincha, even though, as we know, a kol kaboncha, takriv melech, even in a carbon mincha, there we're not that concerned about Yisrael doing it. V'loy mishum tuma. The halacha is that if somebody eats a carbon when he's tamei, or does the avoida when he's tamei, there's a chiv. Here, that is avoidus. Avadi, you shouldn't do it that way, but there is no chiv. Even when a kohen does the avoid, he's supposed to be wearing the big dekuna. If he isn't wearing it, it won't be a problem. Furthermore, we know that the halach is that a kohen, before he tells the avoider, he's supposed to be mekadosh yadayim reglayim from the kiyar. If he did the avoider, shloim mechadosh yadayim reglayim, he won't get an oimish for it. We begin a new part of the Mishnah. We've been discussing extensively that there were different periods in our history where at certain periods the bama was mutter, you were allowed to bring a carbon on a bama. Certain periods you weren't allowed to bring on a bama. And even when you're allowed to bring on a bama, what may you bring on a bama, what may you not bring on the bama? And that's the subject that the Mishnah now tackles. So the Mishnah begins with a history. It says the Mishnah, actually, hukam ha-mishkan, until the Mishkan was erected, hoya abamas mataris, all bamas were mutter. V'avoidan, the avoida was done b'b'chayris. So Mefarshim asking a very obvious question. Our Mishnah itself, but we've learned this halacha, teaches us that when you bring a carbon on a bama, even a Yisrael could do the avoida. So what's the Mishnah saying that the avoida was b'chayris? The avoida wasn't on a b'char. The avoida could be by anyone. So what does it mean avoida b'chayris? So I saw a number of pshatim. One pshat is that even though the avoida could be done by a Yisrael, a carbon tzibur that was brought had to be brought by a b'char. One pshat. Another pshat that I saw, as Chachma suggests this pshat, that we know the kabbanis were brought on the harabais. Says the Meshech Chachma, any carbon that was brought on the harabais only can be brought by a bechor. Then I saw a third pshat, a very interesting pshat, that bechoris doesn't specifically mean because you're a bechor, because you're the firstborn. In fact, many Rishonim suggest that we know that to be considered a bechor for Pinyan HaBen, there are very specific rules. You have to be a pet terechem, and you have to be bechor la'aviv elimai. All those rules don't apply here. The word bechor means the most chashuva, the most distinguished individual. What Mishnah means with bechor means that even when you didn't avoid an abama, and even though the halach is that a abama could be done, the avoida, as we're going to learn in the Mishnah, can be done with a czar, still, who should you use to do the avoida? The most distinguished individual. And there's a very nice riot to this pshat. We all recall the episode in the Torah where Yaakov tells Esav, Michra kayoim es becharas chali, sell me your becharas. A very difficult parasha. Can I sell you my becharas? I'm a bechar, I'll make you into bechar, we'll sell it. Can't make you into bechar. But if we say the definition of bechar, doesn't mean not specifically biological fact. It's a choshev. Yaakov was saying, I'm more choshev than you are. I spend my days learning and you spend your days in the field. Once the Mishkan was erected, Nesru b'bamis v'avoyda b'kahanim. So, two things. The Rishonim ask, what happened from when we're going to learn that the Bukharim lost their status by Har Sinai? The Kohanim got their status only when the Mishkan was erected. What happened in between? So Rosh Hashanah said very interesting teretz. In that interim period, Bechayrim from Shevet Levi did all the Avaida. Then I saw a beautiful vart from the Shem Shmuel. He says, what are we learning in our Mishnah? The famous rule, the famous fact, that originally the Avaida was Bechayrim, and then the Bechayrim lost their status. So he says, now we could understand the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen. I'll tell you how I understand the Shem Shmuel. We know that when a Jew dies, he becomes a Mesis Tameh. When an Akum dies, he doesn't become Tameh. Why? The answer is that where there is Kedusha, where the Kedusha leaves, that's where Tumah comes. So when a Yisrael dies and he was Kadosh, so the Kedusha goes away, Tumah comes. But Akum, there was no Kedusha, so there's no Tumah. The Bechayim is our Mishnah teaches us with the epitome of Kedusha. They did the Avoida. So when they lose the Kedusha, it's something to be concerned about. How do we deal with it? with the mitzvahs pidyon haben. Shem Shmuel's word. Kachi kachim, says the Mishnah further, kachi kachim that are brought, the chalm of fnim and klaim, they have to be eaten within the azara, kachim kal mechom machni Yisrael. That was when the Mishnah was erected. Mishkan. Baal of Gilgal, once they got to Gilgal, the first 14 years they were in at Yisrael, when they were conquering and dividing at Yisrael, hutra bomas, the bomas became mutter, kachi kachim, the chalm of fnim and klaim, the kachi kachim have to be eaten inside the Azar of the Gilgal, the Kachi Kalim become Makim, Kachi Kalim can be brought anywhere. Why? Even though they had a Mishkan in Gilgal, but since the Aron wasn't there, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, because the Aron traveled with them in their battle, so the Gilgal Mishkan didn't have the full-fledged din, and Bomas were Mutter. Baal is Shiloh. Once they came to Shiloh, Nesra Bomas, the Bomas became prohibited. V'loya Yishim Tikra, the Mishnah says, in describing Mishkan Shiloh, there was no ceiling to it. Elabes Havonim Bavad, there were stone walls, Mamatam. V'yiriyos, curtains were covering it on top. V'yiriyos Menucha. So I saw a beautiful pshat. Here the Mishnah says that Shiloh had a very temporary roof, and yet it's called Menucha. How do we reconcile that? Pshat is, because the Aron was there. So if the Aron is there, I don't care what the roof looks like. It's Menucha. And if the Aron is not there, then it doesn't make a difference that what kind of structure it is. At that time, and as we're going to learn in the Perek, it's quite a serious amount of years. At the time that the Mishkan was in Shiloh, Kachi Kachim Nechalim Lufnim Nechalim, the Kachi Kachim could only be eaten inside the Kloim, the Kachim Shalim, Amayas Hashani, B'chol Aroya. You could only eat it in a place that you could see Mishkan Shiloh from. So the Sfas Emma says, even though the Mishnah is saying you could see Shiloh, you could eat it, it has to be in Eretz Yisrael. Let's say you could see Shiloh, but you're outside of Israel, you can't eat. The Brisker Rav has a Shiloh. How do we understand B'chol HaRoya? Does B'chol HaRoya mean that that is the place, that any place that's within distance that you could see Shiloh from, it's considered a place where you could eat? Or it's not a din, says the Brisker Rav, in the place. It's a din in the person. That if you are an individual that could see from that place, then you could eat. The nafka mina will be, what happens if you can see and I can't? If it's a din in the makam, so the makam is or isn't. If it's a din in the person, every person would have its own rule. Right. Baal and Noiva Givin. Once they came to Noiva Givin, Hutra Bamas. Again, because the Aron, as we'll learn in our parak, wasn't there permanently. Hutra Bamas. And once the Bamas became Mutter, Kachi Kachim could only be Nechal of Nimla Kloim, Kachi Kalim Bechalari Yisrael. Baal Yerushalayim. Once they came to Yerushalayim, they built the base of Migdash. Nesra HaBamas. The Bamas became permanently Usur, because our Mishnah is following the opinion that we discussed in the previous parak. Kitchel Shata, Kitchel Asad Lavai. That Kedusha remains forever, and there is no heter ever again to bring a bama. V'hi hoise nachla, because Yerushalayim is considered a nachla. Kachi kachim nachalim lufnim nachloim in the azara. Kachi kalim ma'asasheni v'lufnim nachloim could only be eaten in Yerushalayim.